to see what it means to be free of the shots and the dreams that you claim to see.
This is Dressed Like This, a Teen Wolf fanfic written by Alianora and read by Rena Jenkins. The story is rated PG-13 and is Jen, and contains the relationships between Sheriff Stalinsky and Stas Stalinsky, and pre-Derek Kale Stas Stalinsky. With additional tags for post-frenemy episode tag, Stalinsky family feels, confused sexuality, coming out, author's notes after the fic.
And fouled in the night by the ones you think you love, they will come for you. And fouled in the night by the ones you think you love, they will come for you.
You're not gay. His father's words were flat and unamused, but the tiny speck of disbelief in the sheriff's eyes was enough to keep Stas' mouth running way past any evidence of his good sense. I didn't want to talk about it. He forged ahead, arms spreading wide, ignoring the voice in the back of his head that is reminding him that this is a really stupid idea. And I still don't, but I am, and that's that, and I'm sorry if you can't deal with it, and if you can't, I guess I can just... Stiles ran down, his brain jumping right past the fact that he's not actually gay, and landing solidly on his dad doesn't accept him. Which, even as he was doing it, he realized didn't make sense and didn't even apply to the situation where he was lying through his teeth to his dad in order to chase down an evil lizard creature and, again, not actually gay. But it didn't matter. His brain grabbed at the thought and ran away, and Stas was having a hard time finding words through the sudden thick feeling in his throat. He flapped his hands in frustration at himself and the alarm that was beginning to flicker over his dad's face, and shook his head hard. Stas whirled on one foot and plunged back towards his car, ignoring the alarm in his father's voice as the sheriff stuttered, Stiles, wait. If he had looked back, he would have seen his father hastily trying to pass responsibility for the current legal mess off onto anyone in order to get to him. But he didn't. And even if he had, he might not have been able to see through the unexpected wetness in his eyes anyway. He threw himself back into the car beside Scott, having to try two different times to shut the door because the stupid thing wouldn't catch if he didn't swing it just right, and Scott was staring at him in open-mouthed consternation. Great. Dude? Scott tried, face twisting up in obvious confusion. Nope! Stiles shut Scott down without a single hesitation, reaching forward to turn the radio up as far as it would go, and simultaneously wiping his eyes with his wrist and nearly blinding himself when he smacked himself in the eye with a button on his sleeve. He waved away Scott's look of startled concern and threw the car into gear, telling him, "No, no, and oh yeah, no." Scott subsided, but Stiles could feel Scott watching him. He refused to turn and look at him, even though Scott cleared his throat to say something several times. One time resulted in Stiles rolling down the window, and the second and third involved Stiles belting out the words to whatever was playing on the radio until Scott finally gave up. Because, fuck you, Stiles could rock Lady Gaga. All of this, and they still had Jackson knocked out unconscious in the back seat, which they really needed to deal with. So Stiles took an abrupt turn off the road they were on and headed for the wolf lair of brooding and man pain. Stiles was fine. He was. and he was going to avoid the hell out of his dad and not talk to Scott about it and forget all about this freaking night and the stupid gay bar and the fact that freaking Jackson was a killer lizard and a total tool. And most of all, he was going to forget about how his dad couldn't deal with Styles and the fact that he was gay. Or not gay. Whatever. It didn't matter. The Jeep screeched up to the shattered remains of Derek Kale's innocence, and Styles was falling out of the driver's seat and banging on the mangled front door before Scott had even managed to untangle himself from the seatbelt. Or Styles would have been banging on the door, but Derek Hale and his eyebrows of doom were already swinging the door open and scowling down at him, and Styles managed to bang on Derek's very firm chest instead. Which was enough to distract Styles from all the things he wasn't thinking about, and he found himself purposefully groping Derek's pecs. Whoa, dude, can you bounce stuff off of these like The Rock can? What? Derek already sounded exasperated, which was par for the course for most people dealing with Styles. So Styles ignored both it and the incredulous look that Derek was giving Styles' hands, and kept feeling up Derek's chest. Which was extremely pleasing to the touch, in all honesty. Although Styles could see why some girls complained about guys who were too built. I can't imagine laying my head on your chest after sex. You're probably not very comfortable to cuddle up with, are you? Asked Styles, now using both hands to cup Derek's man boobs, absently thumbing across the nipples, causing Derek to jump and grab for Styles' hands to push him away. Who then realized what the hell he was doing, which was so completely not okay, and wow, maybe he was gayer than he had thought. Holy shit. Whoa, and I was totally sexually molesting you. Sorry. Styles tucked his hands under his own armpits to keep from reaching out again, because Derek's pecs were a little hypnotic now that Styles had thought about them and felt them. Which, as he managed to ramble out a partial explanation about creepy killer lizard Jackson and his unconsciousness and the gay bar and something about his dad, Scott, bless the boy, came up and slapped a hand over Styles' mouth to get him to shut up and took over the explanation. And then there was the hauling of Jackson out of the back and tying him up, which was kinky but necessary. Although less kinky and more bad wrong without consent, but still necessary. Styles' phone was periodically buzzing in his pocket, but every time he looked at it, it was his dad, and he couldn't handle any discussion of his sexuality and how his dad had just totally rejected it, and then Styles had run away. He was going to have to answer eventually and actually talk to the man about the gay bar, and the fact Styles was actually completely straight. He thought about the feeling of Derek's chest under his hands, and whoops, he was actually mostly completely straight, I think. Oh god. Or possibly just really stressed out by the killer lizard and fucking werewolves, and girl boobs are entirely too distracting right now. Or something. Maybe he'd just send a text to his dad. JK, not really gay. Staying at Scott's forever. Tacos for dinner tomorrow? Scott and Derek were arguing about killing Jackson again, which Styles would royally like to stay out of because, one, Jackson is an ass, and two, Styles really hates Jackson. So Jackson dying would actually be kind of awesome for Styles, in a really creepy, I'm a murderer, ask me how, kind of way. But regardless of how much Jackson sucked, that would be wrong. And Scott had that stubborn set to his mouth that said he wasn't budging for absolutely anything, and was obviously about to throw down with Derek. So Styles really needed to get himself together so he could prevent bloodshed. Fine. Styles was fine. This would all be fine, and Styles would go home, and his dad would be probably sitting on the couch looking worried and anxious, and Styles would make an awkward joke, and his dad would stare at him with this horrible, I'm not mad, I'm disappointed eyes, and then have to talk about feelings and the differences between boys and girls, and why Styles was waking up in the middle of the night to wash his sheets again, when they'd had that conversation when Styles was 12 and he never needed to hear it again, especially in regards to the differences in being attracted to both boys and girls, or just boys, or anyone with a smirk and a brain, and damn it, it doesn't even matter because Styles isn't even gay. And Scott and Derek were now staring, which means that he has probably been at least making faces and possibly weird hand gestures while thinking. And so he flips him off and returns to glaring at Derek's chest, which he is totally not in the least gay for admiring because holy shit, running face first into that chest would probably give someone a broken nose. Styles manages to pull it together enough to figure out the plan. Which is sad and pathetic and clearly a result of not listening to Styles, because it involves leaving Jackson tied up in the Hale House of Infinite Sorrow overnight and hoping the dude in charge of him comes looking for his killer lizard. Like, could you imagine keeping something like that for a pet? Don't iguanas walk on leashes? They could get Jackson a leash and a collar. Maybe something with glitter that said pretty princess. And teach him how to fetch and throw treats of people bits at him when he didn't pee on the carpet. Ugh, whatever. Let's keep the evil iguana tied up in the ruined remains of a house burned down by hunters while the iguana is currently human and able to do things like moan and sneer and complain to the police all about how you kidnapped him and told him he was killing people. What a great plan! When Styles expressed this very logical sentiment, he got growled at by Tall, Dark, and Mean. Which is how Styles ended up sitting in the super creepy basement where people had been burned alive, holy shit, watching Jackson curl up on the floor on a rapidly deflating air mattress as Styles' phone rang again in his pocket. Dad. Again. This time Styles actually managed to hold the phone in a slightly shaky hand and open the missed calls. Because Dad was not a huge fan of text messages, when it was so much easier to figure out Styles' level of deceit and lies through the sound of his voice. 10 missed calls. 4 voice messages. Styles' finger hovered indecisively between listen and return call. And fuck. There was no way Styles could call his dad and discuss this whole mess. While Jackson, the murder lizard, slept the sleep of the knocked unconscious just a few feet away. He sighed and scrubbed a hand through his short hair, and closed his eyes, and stabbed blindly at listen. Hey, buddy. His dad sounded so uncomfortable, and something in Styles' stomach twisted up just a little further, because really gay or not, his dad was lost and confused about a stupid, stupid kid, and Styles had done this. Had thrown his overworked, stressed-out dad further into the land of parenting hell, because he couldn't tell his dad the truth about anything, and so he had told him... Styles dug his thumbs into suddenly watery eyes. Because the truth was that Styles was so damn tired of death and murders and lizards and werewolves that he had no fucking idea anymore whether he had told his dad the truth or something that might be the truth if only Styles had a few minutes to sit down and actually think about it. Fuck it. Styles glared at Jackson's stupid face that was smug even when he was unconscious and wiped the face of his phone and suddenly sweaty hands on his shirt. He opened the text message and got as far as typing in Daddy-O in the to field before losing steam and staring blankly at the blinking cursor. What the hell could he even say? Maybe not gay, but something. Delete. I groped Derek Hill's man boobs. They're real, and they're spectacular! Delete. Please don't hate me. Styles stared at the rapidly vanishing letters as he held down the black button. He watched the screen slowly dim, and only after the screen blinked black did he tuck his phone back in his pocket. A bitter smile twisted his face, and Styles laughed a laugh at himself. Of course. Of fucking course. He was the only person on Earth who would come out of the closet in a lie and only realize later that it might be the truth. And he was sitting here in a fucking basement by himself with an asshole who was a lizard in his free time while Derek ran the perimeter or something and Scott went home and slept like a baby to keep his mom from asking any more questions than she already was. Damn Derek Hale. This is all his fault. Him and his stupidly attractive pecs. Styles sat in the basement, eyes gritty and exhausted, until the sun came up and Derek came down to take over. He kept running the events of the night over and over through his mind. His dad's disbelieving face, the tone in the sheriff's voice when he rejected what Styles was telling him. There was a plan to deal with Jackson, and Styles should care about that, he was sure of it. But the lost sound in the messages his dad had left distracted him, and all he wanted to do was go home and curl up in his bed, or run away and never go home again. He's not sure how he got home, which means he sure as hell shouldn't have been driving. And dragging himself out of the Jeep is almost impossible. But the front door is opening, and his dad is standing there disheveled and looking like he hasn't slept either. And then he's grabbing Styles up and pulling him in tight, and it doesn't matter, because his dad is saying, "I'm sorry, I'm so sorry," in this broken, scared voice. And Styles is leaning on his dad, and he's crying too, because he's tired and he's confused, and he doesn't have the energy to crack any more jokes about feeling of Derek. And none of it matters. None of it matters. Because his dad loves him. Still loves him. ADHD, questionable fashion sense, whatever sexuality, and everything. And all Styles can do is tighten his arms around his dad and say, thank you, in his own shaky voice. And sure, eventually they'll stop crying, and his dad will drag him inside and make coffee while Styles scolds his bacon intake. And then his dad will ground him for being out all night, and Styles will tell him a little, maybe, about boys and girls and whatever. But that's later. And right now his dad loves him, and loves him, and loves him. The end.
Moving along at a pace unknown to mine.
Author's notes. Damn it! Ugh, this was supposed to be a funny romp through mistaken sexuality, and then there were feels. Thank you so much, Styles! Reader's notes. The first time I read this, I actually choked up. Like, I didn't cry, because I haven't actually cried in a couple years, I think. But I got that feeling in my throat where you feel like you just swallowed 4 socks and a gerbil or something, and you're all tight and coughing, and you can't really do words for, like, half an hour until it goes away. Yeah, that was the feeling I got when I read this the first time, and it's just Styles and his dad hugging on the porch. Such a great image. And, yeah. So thank you for showing my Stilinski family feels, and thanks for listening, and have a nice day.
Dreaming alone, at a pace you'll understand. Go, 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 go. No, 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 no. And you thought the lines are bad, well, they tried to kill my brothers, and for every king that died, you think you love, felled in the night by the ones you think you love, felled in the night by the ones you think you love, love.